Be sure to join us next week when host Angela Palermo will talk with Dalia Husu, transgender Dominican-born artist, poet, and author, whose recent memoir, I Am Woman, launched her career as an activist and advocate. That's next week, right here on KGNU 88.5, or anytime at kgnu.org/outsources. Hope to see you next week. Good night.
It's 7 o'clock. This is KGNU, Boulder and Denver.
This program is brought to you by the KGNU Listener Member and the Boulder Chamber Orchestra, presenting The Elephant in the Room, featuring Yabing Tan, Violin and Brahms Symphony No. 1, September 23rd and 24th. More information at boulderchamberorchestra.org.
Listeners have donated their cars, trucks, boats, or motorcycles, even carts, to KGNU. Such gifts help us in bringing you the programming you enjoy. If you've got a vehicle to donate, do it now and help us keep your favorite news and music alive on the Front Range. To see if your vehicle is eligible, call 844-KGNU-CAR. That's 844-KGNU-CAR.
We agreed I would do this, but now I'm not so sure. In my dream, I was brazen, proud, but my strength has vanished, my eyesight so poor, my eyesight so poor. I enjoy being known as an artist.
We just heard one of the sample songs, I guess you might say, from a new opera that has been created here in Boulder and first got a reading of it, I guess you might say, in Spain, but also a recording here. That was Marcia Raganetti in this. Some of you may be familiar with this. I'm Chris Moore, and this is our program here on KGNU Opera Box. And I am back after a summer of doing radio announcing up in the mountains. So here we are, enjoying a very unusual comic opera, which actually is also very heart-opening. 4 years after a well-meaning widow in a Spanish town botched the restoration of a century-old fresco of Jesus crowned with thorns, and she botched it pretty badly, The image in the altered fresco, Ecce Homo, or Behold the Man, was likened to a monkey or a hedgehog, and it was mocked in memes and widely shared on social media. Many of you who are listening now might be familiar with that terrible so-called restoration that took place. But the mockery ultimately turned into gratitude for the widow, Cecilia Jimenez, who is 86 years old. I think maybe now she's 87. The alterations had a divine effect on the economy of Borja, a struggling small city in northeast Spain of only about 5,000 people. Spanish and foreign tourists have now visited her handiwork, and that has been a tremendous boon economically. There was a 45-minute abbreviated production of the opera Behold the Man that was staged in late August in the courtyard of the Gothic 16th-century Sanctuary of Our Lady of Mercy, where the fresco is encased in the wall behind a clear cover. The opera, written by two Coloradans, Andrew Flack, the librettist, and Paul Fowler, who composed the music, telling the story of Ms. Jimenez's disastrous restoration and how it turned into an economic miracle for the city. The opera began, and we just heard this, with a fairly traditional aria sung by the Cecilia character, It's Faith That Guides My Brush, and then shifts to a song that evokes the style of Lady Gaga, Come Get Your Ecce, or Ecce. Mr. Flack and Mr. Fowler thought of the idea for Behold the Man in September of 2012, and they've been working on it since, giving a staged reading in the United States in 2014. And they raised about $22,000 with crowdfunding. Local authorities are also helping in Spain as part of a broader strategy to make sure the fresco takes a long-term and becomes a long-term tourist attraction. Let's listen to another song now from this opera, and let us hope that someday we will get to hear this live.
If my life wasn't underwater, if my wife didn't hate my daughter, if I could just
My Little Hotel, sung by Marcos, Cecilia's son, and the father of Sylvia. Marcos has borrowed money from Cecilia, the painter, to invest in a small hotel, but because the Spanish economy in 2012 is so terrible, he's going broke and he needs to sell. And the problem is no buyers, and he's panicked that he cannot repay his mother's loan. So we just heard from Act One, Marcos singing My Little Hotel. Now let's go on to a little bit of a zarzuela style. Zarzuela is a kind of a operetta Spanish style, you might say. Artist Martinez, the ghost of the fresco's original 1930s painter, plays an essential role in the story, a spirit trapped between this world and the next. He realizes that he's partly to blame for the fresco's poor condition, and he's caught between pride and shame, longing for respect, but with issues unresolved. In this scene, he reminisces on the times that he spent in Campo de Borja in the 1920s when he was a young man, when he taught at the university, owned the local hat shop, and, of course, loved to drink the wine.
This shop is the shop for which I am known. Martinez hats, custom made, hand sewn, straw, felt, cotton, and wool. Brims short or wide, slouch or pull. Managed today by my step-great-granddaughter, Sylvia, a lovely girl when you get to know her. And you should, and you will, my darling, lovely girl. In my day, I taught at the university. A few famous students, more famous than me. Here in Borja we spent our summer holidays. Oh, such memories, such memories. But to tell you the truth, it was more about the tell you about the hats. I'd say to my students, you should come to Borja, baby. Borja's where it's at. And when you come to Borja, baby, you'd better have a glass of wine and buy a hat.
Next is an homage to the composer Handel from his opera Adriana, the richest and most beautiful woman in town. Marcos's wife and Cecilia's daughter-in-law sings about the difficulty of being wealthy and that she has just been diagnosed with the very dangerous illness of having too much money. Act One, Adriana singing Affluenza.
What event could make a pity? Would
We are continuing through a few excerpts from Ecce Homo, Behold the Man, and now we have heard from the wealthy young Adriana, the rich lady, the rich young lady, and in Act Two, Come Get Your Ecce. The botched Ecce Homo goes viral in Act Two. The terrible job of restoration of the suffering Jesus becomes an internet sensation. Tourists begin arriving from around the world. Arturo, Sylvia's boyfriend, urges the people of Borja to begin marking and making the most of this opportunity to capitalize on their unexpected good fortune. Others are not convinced. In this high-energy number, Borja goes boom from Act Two, Come Get Your Ecce.
Come get your ecce, come get your ecce, come get your ecce, ecce homo. Come get your ecce, come get your ecce, come get your ecce, ecce homo. Come get your ecce, come get your ecce, come get your ecce, ecce homo. Come get your ecce, come get your ecce, come get your ecce, ecce homo. Get your mono, ecce homo.
Come to Borja, baby.
Get your ecce homo. When you come to Borja,
ecce baby,
come to Borja.
Get your ecce.
This is a unique opera, to say the least. When I was working up at Aspen Public Radio this past summer and bringing in Aspen Music Festival musicians and composers, conductors, I also sneaked in these guys, the librettist and the composer of Ecce Homo, a homegrown Boulder work that got its premiere, I guess you might say, or at least a partially stage premiere of 45-minute excerpts, you might say, of some of the work here in Spain at the very location where the botched restoration is taking place, and it looks like it may move forward. So here is an interview I did originally at Aspen Public Radio, which I thought you might be interested in hearing from the two authors here in Boulder. The small Spanish town of Borja is hosting a world premiere this weekend. It's an unstaged production of a full-length opera called Ecce Homo, or Behold the Man. You may already know the bizarre story of this opera. 4 years ago, a well-meaning widow in a Spanish town botched the restoration of a century-old fresco of Jesus crowned with thorns. The image of the altered fresco, Ecce Homo, or Behold the Man, was likened to a monkey or a hedgehog. It was a disaster, and it was roundly mocked in memes and widely shared on social media. But the mockery ultimately turned into gratitude for the creator, Cecilia Jimenez, who is now 86 years old. The alterations had an amazing effect on the economy of Borja, a struggling city of only 5,000 people in the northeast part of Spain. Spanish and foreign tourists began flocking to look at this crazed handiwork. A 45-minute abbreviated production of the opera Behold the Man is being staged this weekend in the courtyard of the Gothic 16th century sanctuary of Our Lady of Mary, where the fresco is encased in a wall behind a clear cover. The opera was written by two Coloradans. Andrew Flack was the librettist and Paul Fowler composed the music. It tells the story of Ms. Jimenez's disastrous restoration and how it turned into an economic miracle for the city of Borja. I talked with both the librettist and the composer just before the Spanish premiere. Here's Andrew.
A traveling minister of culture in Spain found it and was horrified, as well he should have been, and blew the whistle and said, hey, who did this, blah, blah, what's going on here? And it was at that point that I saw it in the paper. So my heart went out to her. And I contacted my friend, composer Paul Fowler, and he'd been asking me for years to come up with an idea for a comic opera. And I said, Paul, this is it. I mean, we've got the church, we have the church music, we have contemporary music, we have the internet.
That image of Jesus just makes you howl with laughter when you realize what happened to the original and then what it looked like after that.
Absolutely. It's just it's really grotesque. It's not the image itself that our opera is about. It's what happens upon it's going viral. You know, and it's about the town. It's about the dynamics in town. It's about her, really her faith to stay the course and to see this thing turn around and go, as we say, it's the story of how a disaster can become a miracle.
And then the human being that's behind it, who is a simple woman of faith and absolute sincerity. Tell us a little bit about walking that line as a librettist.
Yeah. Well, as a dramatist, I've always written black comedies, and I've always written about absurd happenings in a normal-type world. To me, it really speaks of that because there is the heart in all this stuff, and it was really her heart and her sincerity that becomes the center of our story.
Mm-hmm.
While all this crazy, blasphemous, crazy stuff's going all over the internet with other, what they call memes, which are representations of what she did.
So they stick her image of Jesus onto all kinds of other types of faces and settings that are just bizarre.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Uh-huh. And hundreds of them, really, maybe thousands. But it was, and that's what fodder for ridicule and for humor, and for just the craziness of the internet and how it can spawn something like this. You know, the internet plays a big part in the second act. I mean, we actually project these memes during the second act to show that the internet's influence.
And the internet actually brought tourism to that town. Is that actually happened too as well, right?
It did. It went from a town that had 50-60% unemployment to a place where in the last 4 years there have been over 200,000 people come from all over the world who have come to see Cecilia's Ecce. And it's inexplicable, really, why, but it's a trek. I mean, it's almost like a pilgrimage.
And here's composer Paul Fowler.
We started the piece out thinking about each character kind of having a music that suited their soul, so to speak, or their character. And our church-going lady folks, Cecilia and her sister, who start the opera off praying in the church, they're accompanied by Gregorian chant, as that seems fitting. And their music kind of grows out of a lot of the religious music we associate with the church nowadays, Bach and Handel and of course, Gregorian chant. And then, you know, our younger people in the opera, you could call them our millennials, I guess, who help the town recognize that they actually have a gold mine of merchandising and tourism.
Mm-hmm.
They're singing pop music from the day. We actually tried to model some of the pop quotes and other things based on what was in the charts in 2012 at the time of the restoration and its botching. The mayor actually sings regional songs from the area of Zaragoza and Aragon. So he sings a fun, what's called a jota. You know, we have some other more traditional, that I guess we would view in America, Spanish elements. There's a flamenco tango that happens. Normally in opera, right, I'm as a composer trying to have a sound. I'm trying to have a thing that you could peg, you know. It's like we all know what Puccini sounds like because all of his operas have a quality that is Puccini. And that's great. I mean, I love work like that. But what was attractive about this one is that it could have the sound of the world instead of having the sound of me.
Mm-hmm.
I can't escape my own musical choices, so there's something about it that sounds like me. But it was more interesting to be playing with the existing materials and seeing how that all could come together to tell the story in a really multifaceted kind of internet-based world.
Let's listen to a little bit of Cecilia's opening aria, It's Faith That Guides My Brush, sung by mezzo-soprano Marcia Raganetti. Now back to librettist Andrew Flack. One of the last scenes is a quote from 1 Corinthians. God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, the weak things of the world to shame the strong, the lowly things and the despised things, and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. It's a beautiful passage. Parsifal by Wagner uses that same theme, and certainly other dramatic works do as well. I know you've been an absurdist and a black comedy kind of writer, but in the end, it seems like there's a lot of light that shines on this work.
It's so true, Chris, and thank you for saying that. Yes, we got to the end, and it was like the perfect thing to use for the finale. Mm-hmm. God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise.
We've been talking with librettist Andrew Flack and composer Paul Fowler about their new opera, Ecce Homo. So that's the interview I ran last summer at Aspen Public Radio first, and now I'm airing it here at KGNU. And unlike Aspen Public Radio here, I'm playing all seven of the songs that have been kind of recorded, of course, with some electronic instruments, but some live singers. And we're really seeing this work beginning to come to life, to beginning to have its birth, and it's very exciting to be a part of that. We're going to hear a song now called Beautiful Swan, because by now the townspeople realize that Cecilia has done them a favor, and she is the hero. It's saint rather than it's sinner. Tourism is up, the economy is improving, there's a positive new charge in the air. So this song is sung to Cecilia by her proud granddaughter, Sylvia. Cecilia joins in at the end, thanking her friends for reaccepting her. So here's from Act Two, Beautiful Swan.
Oh,
And now we come to the final piece of our excerpts here, and also I believe the final piece of the entire opera, Ecce Homo. This text, as was just explained by the librettist, comes from the Bible, 1 Corinthians, and perfectly suits the story. God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, the weak things of the world to shame the strong, the lowly things and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. Here's Act Two's grand finale with Cecilia, her sister Beatriz, leading the way in God Chose. God Chose, the grand finale to Ecce Homo, an opera in progress, and one which hopefully will find its birth either here or somewhere in Spain, maybe at Borja, but we will see. Behold the Man, or Ecce Homo, is the name of the opera again, E-C-C-E, and then H-O-M-O. And we can thank Boulder musician or composer Paul Fowler and librettist Andrew Flack for the music that we just heard today, and a number of very talented singers, including Marcia Raganetti as Cecilia, also for coming into the studios and making this sample recording possible as well. 7:39 is our time here on KGNU. We're going to hear some music of Mahler as conducted by our new conductor of Mahler Fest here in Boulder on a recording he made elsewhere.
This program is supported by you, the KGNU listener member, and by the Boulder Chamber. The Boulder Chamber is our community's business support and advocacy organization. They strive to build community through business and help their member businesses and organizations grow while advocating for an economy that sustains Boulder for those who live and work here. You can find out more details and how to become a member at boulderchamber.com.
This program is brought to you by the KGNU listener member and the Boulder Chamber Orchestra presenting The Elephant in the Room, featuring Yabing Tan, Violin and Brahms Symphony No. 1, September 23rd and 24th. More information at boulderchamberorchestra.org.
Our next work will not exactly be an opera, but it's a beautiful vocal work, and I wanted to play it really in honor of Mahlerfest, a very courageous group of board members and other supporters of Mahlerfest after Robert Olson, the founder and the founding conductor, I guess you might say, of Mahlerfest, stepped down and retired. And then Kenneth Woods, they decided to hire him to continue playing Mahler symphonies year after year after year right here in Boulder. It's something that has captured the attention and the accolades of the world. Kenneth Woods is the new conductor, and as it turns out, he has a number of recordings out all over the place. One of them is an all-Mahler recording of Songs of a Wayfarer and Das Lied von der Erde, or The Song of the Earth. We're going to hear the more youthful work now, Lieder eines fahrenden Gesellen, and this is the Orchestra of the Swan, Kenneth Woods conducting and featuring Contralto Emma Curtis.
Thank you. Heute Morgen liebes Feld, tonnenhaft in Gräsern hing, sprach du mir Lust gefink, ei du Geld. Guten Morgen, ein Geld, wo mir es nicht eine schöne Welt, schöne Welt. Sing, sing, schön und flink, doch die Welt gefällt. Auf die Glockenblumen fällt, hört mir lustig gute Ding, mit den Glöckchen klinge, kling, klinge, kling. Ihre Morgengruß geschenkt, wird's nicht eine schöne Welt, schöne Welt. Thank you.
Thank you.
music of Gustav Mahler, we heard Lieder eines Fehrenden Gesellen. David Stout was our baritone in that performance, conductor Kenneth Woods with the Orchestra of the Swan. And next year you'll hear Kenneth Woods conducting Mahlerfest once again. So that's why we decided to play that particular piece. Not exactly an opera, but I thought it would be a nice way to round out the hour of at least vocal music. And by the way, expect a lot more vocal music tonight because we're going to play the entire Leonard Bernstein Mass, something I have never done on the air because it's almost 2 hours long, but it will take up our entire program for the next couple of hours. That is a classic Monday. About 10 seconds before 8 o'clock, we're KGNU Boulder, Denver, 88.5 FM, 1390 AM, 93.7 FM in Netherlands, and online at kgnu.org. I'm Chris Moore. Thanks so much for listening to Opera Box, and now for continuing your listening and enjoyment of Leonard Bernstein's Mass. Very much a product, I might say, of its time, to say the least. The reason I'm playing Leonard Bernstein's Mass now is because the Colorado Symphony season is just getting underway. They just had their first series of concerts, which included also Sprach Zarathustra last weekend. And coming up next is going to be Beethoven and Bruges on September 21st. That's going to be, needless to say, pretty informal. And then an all-Bernstein program on the 30th of September, not including the entire Mass, but I thought it would be fun because this captures all of the different styles that Leonard Bernstein was so famous for. The Daniel Kellogg Violin Concerto gets its world premiere on October 15th, so ColoradoSymphony.org is a good place to go to find out about what the symphony is up to in Denver. Now, the Leonard Bernstein Mass is unique. This is a work, of course, the great conductor and also the great composer for works like West Side Story and other great Broadway classics. He was less successful in the classical realm. Certainly his music is well known, and some of it is a part of the standard repertoire. And one of the most difficult things he ever wrote is this Mass, which was a super ultra multimedia work, which involved dancers, singers, lighting, and actors. And it's not really quite, nobody can be quite sure exactly what this work is. It is based on the Catholic Mass. Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis was a good and close personal friend of his, and I think she was the one who may have actually asked if Leonard Bernstein would consider doing this for the opening of the Kennedy Center. But anyway, the Kennedy Center opened in 1971, and Bernstein's Mass was the first piece ever to be performed there. This recording was made shortly after that, and they just took over a recording studio for 20 hours and recorded all 2 hours of it. Chorus, solo singers, children's chorus, all kinds of people are put into this. And it has the standard liturgy of the Catholic Mass, and some of that will sound very classical. Some of it will sound 12-tone, a la Schoenberg and some atonalities. Some will sound very much like pop music, and I believe that, in fact, Paul Simon may have helped with some of the words for at least one of the songs in this as well. All told, it's quite a work, and it's kind of like Colorado weather. If you don't like a particular part of it, just wait, because the whole style will change within 5 minutes, and that happens over and over again. Alan Titus plays the starring role as the priest, and the priest comes in and says, "Sing God a simple song, because God is the simplest of all," in the beginning. And he comes out, he's just in jeans and a t-shirt and strums a guitar, and it's very, very simple. And then the congregation doesn't think that that's good enough. They want a lot more razzmatazz, and they bring in all their complaints and their neuroses and their doubts and everything into the Mass as well. And as the Mass continues, the priest keeps wearing more and more vestments, and until finally he's just weighed down by all the vestments. And in the final scene, he tears off all the vestments, brings out his little guitar again, and sings for a while. And then the chorus comes in and sings a staggeringly beautiful canon at the end, Lauda, Lauda, Lauda Te, I believe. And that, when Leonard Bernstein was there at the premiere performance, when he heard that final chorus, he burst into tears. And there's videos and photos, of course, of him sobbing. Alan Titus is in the title role of the priest, and the Norman Scribner Choir, the Berkshire Boy Choir, and an orchestra put together by Leonard Bernstein with some of his favorite musicians and conducted by the composer. In honor of the upcoming Colorado Symphony season, let's hear the Leonard Bernstein Mass.